Come fly with me. That's the best I could do, Paul. Fly with me. Just get there earlier or maybe get left behind. Yesterday, an alert from TSA saying you better get to the Pittsburgh International Airport early if you want to make your flight, potentially. And joining us, Bob Kerlick, is the Director of Public Affairs, Allegheny County Airport Authority. He's the guy. Bob, you're the guy right now we want to talk to. How are you doing this morning?
Good. Good morning, Larry. How are you?
Good. So I had noticed last Thursday, there was this was about 5 p.m., an extraordinarily long line, and then the alternate checkpoint was closed. And then I realized that was the day they found two guys trying to get grenades through and understood, okay, this is really serious, so they had to really tighten up things, and the line was long. But then I started noticing the lines have been getting longer. So air travel, what, Sunday set a record, nearly 3 million people passed through TSA checkpoints around the country.
And we've seen traffic at Pittsburgh International, Larry, exceed pre-pandemic levels now.
So what's going on, Bob? Why the alert from TSA?
Yeah, thanks, Larry. Thanks for having me on. Yeah, it is going to be an extremely, it is an busy summer out at Pittsburgh International Airport. We are experiencing record-breaking crowds for the amount of people that are traveling. And in particular, it's that early morning rush, that 5 a.m. to 8 a.m. bank of flights, that if you have flights during that time, we really want you to get to the airport even earlier than you typically might. So in a normal time, you know, we tell people to get there 2 hours before your flight. If you are flying out in that 5 a.m. to 8 a.m. bank, they're advising people to get there 2.5 to 3 hours even sometimes. And that is, it's really particularly the day too also. Mondays in particular, very busy. Today's plan is not nearly long for people that were there this morning. But Mondays, Thursdays, Fridays, the weekends, it's really the midweek flights. You don't see the crowds that we see, but it is really record-breaking crowds that we're seeing this summer. And that's a result of what we're seeing nationally. I mean, this is nationwide. The TSA is seeing this at checkpoints throughout the country. We see that really that desire to travel from that people have bottled up since COVID. And people are really getting out and moving. We're seeing that in Pittsburgh. Coupled with the amount of the new service that we're seeing coming online here in Pittsburgh, we've added about 20 new routes in the last 2 years, including Salt Lake City that they just announced, that Delta just announced last week. So combine that with the desire to travel, and you're going to see long lines this summer.
I would assume, Bob, that interest in TSA PreCheck and things like Clear is increasing.
For sure. definitely, you see a lot more Clear signups, and we encourage people to sign up for TSA. TSA PreCheck, excuse me. That really helps shave the line for people. Now, TSA PreCheck lines were also a little bit long yesterday, but really compared to the main checkpoint line, it's typically less than half. So we would encourage people, if they can, to sign up for TSA PreCheck. It's really worth it, and it gets you through the line much, much more quickly.
How does that work? How do you become a TSA PreCheck qualified flyer?
Yeah, you can go online on TSA.gov, and all the information is on there. But really, they also accept walk-ins throughout the day. The TSA PreCheck office is up on the ticketing level. They're open regular business hours, Monday to Friday. They also have some weekend hours, I believe. And they go through, they do a background check, and then a couple days later, anytime a week to a couple weeks, you'll get your notification that you have been approved for TSA PreCheck. They do background checks. They vet you against the no-fly list, et cetera.
We're with Bob Kerlick with Allegheny County Airport Authority. And Bob, also Clear, a lot of people, this is new to most people. What is that and how is it different from the TSA PreCheck?
It's Clear is something that we introduced at the end of last year. I believe we announced it in December is when it started. And it's a lot of airports around the country do have it. So TSA PreCheck has a separate line. If you think you sign up for TSA PreCheck, you stand in the TSA PreCheck line, you get to leave your shoes on, you can leave your coat on, you can leave your laptops in the case, much more quickly. Clear, a little bit different. You can also have Clear and TSA PreCheck. Clear also has its own line. You sign up for Clear, it helps you get through the line much more quickly. The biometric process when they're doing the ID identification. And then you get to the front of the line, you're still going through the same security process. And once you get through the Clear line, If you are TSA pre, you can go over to the TSA pre line. And if you're regular line, you go over to the regular line. Now, once you get through the clear line, you're at the front of the security checkpoint by that point.
Okay. Well, going to be a busy summer. And then finally, Bob, when the new airport opens, whenever that is next year, there, as I understand, will be more lanes for TSA checking for the, you know, the process. Is that correct?
Absolutely. And so when we were designing the new terminal, the current checkpoint, this is the busiest the current checkpoint has ever been on a consistent basis. Because if you think about it, in the years that we were the hub, you know, we had 20 million passengers. Well, the vast majority of those passengers were connecting, right? Only 5 to 6 million of them were going through the checkpoint. Everybody else never saw the curb. They never saw the landside terminal. They never used our security checkpoint. Those connecting passengers are gone. However, the 5 to 6 million people that we had 20 years ago, that now has doubled. The amount of people that are using our checkpoint, we're up to about 10 million passengers a year. And that's the most O&D, the most Pittsburgh passengers, the most people going to and from Pittsburgh that have ever used this checkpoint. So when we were designing, when people say, why do you need a new airport? Well, we could foresee that this was going to be happening. And we're actually ahead of a lot of other airports in designing our airport and getting it built. The checkpoint is going to be much more, it's going to be much larger. It's going to have much more capacity. We're going to have 11 lanes. Because even the current checkpoint, even if TSA is fully staffed, which they were yesterday, you can only fit so many people through those lanes. There's a maximum amount of throughput people that you can get. With the and by the way, there's two checkpoints, which, you know, does not help streamline the process. Now with the new airport, we're going to have one consolidated checkpoint, more lanes. It'll be a much more enjoyable time for people getting through because it's going to be faster. TSA will be able to staff up in there, and people should experience a much better passenger experience as we continue to grow in these crowds throughout the summers.
Yeah, and we'll look forward to that sometime next year. Bob, appreciate you jumping on with us this morning. Great information. Thank you.
Thank you, Larry.
You got it. Bob Kerlick, Director of Public Affairs, Allegheny County Airport Authority. So get there earlier. Tomorrow at our 7 o'clock hour and every Wednesday, we're joined by former Allegheny County Executive Rich Fitzgerald, now the Executive Director of the Southwestern Pennsylvania Commission, which encompasses working with 10 counties. And it's been interesting because each and every week, Rich brings whatever events are going on around the region, maybe that don't get as much attention or as highlighted as many others. So we look forward to that. Every Wednesday, again in the 7 o'clock hour. Nice article yesterday or Sunday's paper about Rich and his new role by Selena Zito, who I talked to yesterday.
When she's on the air with us and when I get a chance to read something that we've talked to her about, I always learn something new.
Yeah, she's a journalist and she writes for a number of publishing, Washington Examiner, New York Post, Post-Gazette. So we'll talk to Rich tomorrow about what's next, what's going on. We're heading into a big week next week with the 4th of July celebration already here. That's hard to believe, too. Coming up, we're going to talk to 7-time Stanley Cup champion Brian Trottier, who won 2 of those with the Pittsburgh Penguins and came here, played here, stayed here, and fell in love with Pittsburgh, and he's also part now of the broadcast team from Sportsnet Pittsburgh that does coverage of the Penguins.
Brian Trottier, I remember watching him when he was first in the league with the New York Islanders, I believe was his first team. That was a dynasty. 4 back-to-back Stanley Cups. It was perennially in the Stanley Cup final, almost unbeatable for several years. And then for him to wind up in Pittsburgh, where they won more cups, it was, how many people who played in the NHL can say that they've lifted the cup not one time, but 7 times? It's a very exclusive club of people who can say that.
Yeah, I would say. That's why I reached out to him. And actually, as the game started, I stayed up and watched the game. And normally I don't watch. If the Penguins are in it, yeah, I'm in. I'm all in. But if they're not, I don't really follow the playoffs even that closely. But we got down to it, and we had a former Penguin in Rodriguez, Evan Rodriguez, that was on the Panthers team, won a cup. And so I said, well, I'm going to watch game seven. You know, it turned out to be a really good game.
One of the predictions I heard about the game was that Florida was going to be much more physical, as they were in the first three games.
And they were.
And they were, from what I'm picking up. So I'd like to talk with Brian about that. It looks like the Panthers out-hit the Oilers 2-1.
Yeah, they had a stretch, though, at the last 10 minutes in the third period where Edmonton was just so close to tying that game, but they just couldn't do it.
And one of the things that contributed to the Cup win for them was holding Connor McDavid scoreless on both Game 6 and 7.
Though he was named the most valuable player of the playoffs, the Conn Smythe Trophy went to him, and it's pretty unusual that the team that didn't win the Cup doesn't have the guy that wins the MVP award.
We can drill down with Brian on the people who they had covering McDavid, who did a good job.
Yeah, I want to play. I found, of all the goals that Brian had, how about in a game against Boston, he scored 5 seconds into the game, and I found it. So we're going to play that for Brian and jar his memory after 7 Stanley Cups. Brian Trottier coming up on the Big K Morning Show. Also, one of the things that people are talking about is the number of, there's two things when it comes to the ocean that people are really talking about right now. These riptides that have taken lives. There's been multiple drownings, including a couple from Pennsylvania off the Gulf Coast, and then some shark attacks. There seems to be an unusual number of shark attacks that are going on, and no one's 100% sure why. You've seen these videos pop up where the sharks are coming really close to the shoreline. I'm talking about in shallow waters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Where they're between people that are in the ocean and the beach and the shoreline. And, you know, so how do you get out of a rip current? If you're swimming, you swim, and you're a decent swimmer, you got to swim. If you fight the riptide trying to get to the shore,
it's just going
to
pull you further under
and tire you out. They say swim parallel to the shore and slowly work your way in, or float and try to signal for help. But many beaches don't have lifeguards. So just a thought. And the reason this bothers me so much, when I was in third grade, my first school friend, who wasn't a neighborhood friend, drowned on Memorial Weekend. And that affected my entire life.
You bet it did.
About pool safety and safety. And so anytime I hear that, it just, you know, it goes back for me a lifetime ago.
And Brian Trottier to center ice. Brad Gilbert on the left side. Mike Wassey on the right wing with Pearson and Potvin at the blue line. Casper on the faceoff, and Trottier breaks in quickly. He scores! Trottier, 5 seconds into the hockey game, flips the faceoff through to the blue line, picks it up, and beats Doug King. Brian Trottier's 39th goal, his 351st career goal. Watch it.
And joining us on the Big K Morning Show is 7-time Stanley Cup champion Brian Trottier, who's become a Yinzer since he played here, won a couple of cups with the Pens, and of course now part of the Sportsnet coverage of the Penguin television broadcast. Brian, good morning.
A proud Yinzer, Larry. A proud
Yinzer. And we'd love to have you.
You're bringing back all those wonderful memories of the five-second goal. You know, my son and I, we actually checked that out. McGillney, I think, and Doug Schmale, but I think I'm 4.2. That guy was a little slow on the clock.
Yeah, that was pretty incredible. You've had so many wonderful memories and given us so many here in Pittsburgh, too. Curious, watching Game 7, Stanley Cup, what was going through your mind last night?
Well, first thing is, I would have loved to be on the ice, either team. Game 7 is so exciting, and the adrenaline, I don't know, just the prep, everything about the competition, a little jealous, a little envy, but at the same time, those guys are where they want to be. They want to be in that moment, and you could see that they were excited, embracing, probably a little anxiety, but I'll tell you, they played their hearts out, and they put on a great performance. A little sad for the Edmonton team, but very excited for the Florida team. And when you see McDavid getting the MVP, it's tough to get the MVP when you're on the losing team, but what a playoff he had, and you know, hats off to him. But I think for all of us, I'm very, very proud of the hockey guys, because sportsmanship after, you know, you battle for, you know, seven games, and you know they're shaking hands, and winners, losers. I mean, it's brought back a lot of memories for me walking that line after a game. And you know, I went to the dance eight times. In eight finals, I won seven of them. So I said to myself, you know what, it's not a bad ratio.
Yeah, you did okay. I'm pretty certain of that. Paul, you have a question for Brian about last night and being a Stanley Cup champ.
Brian, I didn't get to watch the game because of my odd work schedule. But what I did see when I was looking at the stats was that it looks to me like Florida out-hit Edmonton like 2-1. They played a much more physical game this game, didn't they?
Well, great question, Paul. Well, that's their game. Florida had to play physical, and Edmonton to me just appeared a little quicker, faster a foot, but you know, that physical game that Florida played the whole playoff, they brought a game seven. You know, they banged, they finished. You know, there's a price to pay when you're on the ice, and if you can make the other team, you know, move the puck a little quicker than they want to, at the same time, you know, make them pay a little price, all of a sudden they're going to be looking over the shoulder and doing things a little quicker than they want to, and that's Florida's game. You know, they push, they press, they bang, and Edmonton's game is, you know, pressure, speed, and you know, pucks to the net. And they're you know, I always say to myself, it comes down to goaltending at some point, and you got to make all the saves you got to make, and then a few that you might not make. And hats off to both goaltenders. You know, they played well throughout the series, and to only give up two goals and lose, a little tough on Skinner. But you know, it was a very physical game for Florida, and you know, I think that was a little bit of the difference.
We're with Brian Trottier, and Trotz, they were able in that last 10 minutes in particular, the third period, you're just on the edge of your seat just as a fan watching, because Edmonton poured all they had into it and came so close to tying that game. But what is that feeling like when you know, finally it ends and you realize you're a Stanley Cup champion?
Oh, it was a nail biter, wasn't it? Well, I think there was a couple of goal mouth scrambles, McDavid all alone in front of the net, and there was just like desperation by Florida, bodies flying sideways, scooting around the ice and swinging, and goaltenders flopping, but you know, the puck stayed out of the net, and that's what you need. That moment, those final moments, the final minutes, you know, you just always say, when you're the lead, when you're up by one, you're saying, oh my God, is that clock going to ever move quick? Like, it just seems like the clock slows down, and you're just, you know, come on, clock, let's move. But when that buzzer goes and you're champion, my God, just that overwhelming feeling of, I don't know, complete exhaustion, complete dedication, appreciation of your teammates, and you know, obviously the joy and the, you know, that comes out from the stands, and to share that with the hockey fans, and Florida's going to enjoy that victory tremendously. And you know, South Florida, I think all in all, the ownership, all that stuff, it just kind of a great feeling for everybody. You know, there's that moment when you're celebrating, you know, a few days later with the whole city and going through that I don't know, that excitement and that complete joy all over again. Wow. You know, just washes over. You don't want to lose that feeling. You want it back many times. It's a wonderful, wonderful feeling.
It's a long time coming for the Panthers and their fans, but especially for their head coach, Paul Maurice.
Paul Maurice is a good guy. Like, you know, he's a dedicated guy. Obviously, he's put a lot of years into the game, and to see him accomplish, you know, the final goal. I said to everybody, you know, that Florida team, they were a machine through the year. They rededicated themselves. They were in the finals last year. They came back, and, you know, they became a defense-first team, goaltending out. You know, they didn't have a weak link on defense, and, you know, their captain was, you know, a Selke winner for, you know, just his defensive play as a forward. And you see that just kind of go through the whole team. But Paul Maurice, you know, he let them play their game and, you know, just kind of tweaked them along. I said to everybody, you know, like, a lot of coaches would have loved to have coached this team. You know, you get a guy like Paul Maurice, who's in there, dedicated guy, a lot of years in the league, and to see him accomplish that goal is wonderful for him.
It was also nice to see that Reinhardt got a goal and an assist. He came up big in Game 7, just like the leader of a team would want to.
Well, he had a 50-goal season. I mean, he's a special player. You know, he came in with, you know, all the accolades of a player that's going to, you know, make a difference, and he was a difference maker. He has the timing that they score those big goals and big moments, and that was a big goal. You know, coming down, just that hesitation at the blue line, let guys drive to the net. They backed off far enough, a little bit mini screen, you know, put it through the goalie, and that's what snipers do. And he's got that sniper shot, and you know, guys look to him. And Sam's a good kid. I was coach up in Buffalo with Ted Nolan his rookie year, and you could tell right away this kid's got just the swagger, his confidence, and all that stuff. He was just a little slight and slim. They sent him back to junior, unfortunately for us, because boy, he would have been a great asset to have the whole year. But you know, Sam's a good solid player, and very, very, very happy for him too, and his family. His dad Paul played for Calgary Flames, so you know, they got that Stanley Cup in the family, much like the Kachuk family did. Like, you've seen Keith Kachuk on the ice after the game with his son. It was pretty special moments.
That was special. And the Penguins, by the way, posted their 7-game preseason schedule. They'll be at Buffalo on September 21st, then their first home preseason is against the Sabres, too. So that's September 24th. Before you go, Brian, what do the Penguins have to do? We're kind of jonesing for playoff hockey here the last two seasons. We were spoiled for 16 years in a row. What do we got to do to get back there?
Man, that's like a great question. I think there's some tweaking. I mean, this is a wonderful challenge for management, the coaches. I think they're all looking forward to the season. I mean, yeah, we get a little spoiled here, but when these things happen and there's a what we'll call a playoff glitch, you know, now the players refocus, they reboot, they look in the mirror. What do I need to change a little bit? Do we need to tweak this? And you know, you got coaching staff, you got management, you got scouts, and you know, they get paid the bucks, and they look forward to these kinds of challenges. You know, when you don't win, and every team can win, every team's looking to improve, and that's I think what the Penguins will do. And I like all the things that are coming from the general manager and the coaches, and you know, you read what's online, and you hear the voices of the players, and I'm pretty excited about this season. I hope all our Penguin fans are excited about this year. It's going to be a good opportunity for all of us to see, you know, how they come out, how they perform through the year, and let's hope we're in the playoffs pushing for Stanley Cup, because we got Sidney Crosby for a few more years, hopefully, and you know, he's the ultimate leader as far as I'm concerned in the game of hockey, and you know, what a career he's had. Wouldn't it be nice to go out to bang?
And he's got three. We'll get couple more and then we'll be good to go, but they can't catch you either way. Brian, thank you for joining us. Really
always
appreciate
a pleasure,
your time.
Larry, Paul, thanks guys, a pleasure guys.
You got it, brother. 7-time Stanley Cup champion Brian Trotsky.
What an honor to have him, huh?
Oh, yeah. And as you can tell, he's still loves the game, still enthusiastic, yeah. And great guy to talk to, and he made Pittsburgh his 8:50.